All right, brethren, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Look at verse 6. The voice said, cry. This is the voice from where John the Baptist got his charge to go forth. The voice of the Lord God, the voice of Christ who sent him to herald his arrival. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. What does the Lord mean when he says, all flesh is grass? All flesh is grass. It means man in our nature, in what we are by birth, at our best state, is grass. It's grass. Are there any exceptions? He said, all flesh is grass. What's the very best goodness of our flesh? The very best goodness. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. There's a vast, vast gulf between goodliness of the flesh and godliness produced by the Spirit. Big, big difference. But all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. What happens to it? The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. It's interesting, isn't it, that the Lord says here, all the goodliness of our flesh. He didn't send John the Baptist forth to say, now, all the sinfulness of your flesh and all the evil of your flesh. He sent him forth saying, all the goodliness of your flesh. Somebody asked Charles Spurgeon one time, do you think it's our sin that's keeping men from coming to Christ? And he said, not at all. It's our righteousnesses. It's our goodliness that's keeping us from God. But he said, all the goodliness thereof is as the flower that fadeth. Now, he says here that the grass withereth and the flower fadeth. Does all flesh wither? And does all the best goodness of men fade? It's true that the flesh is perishing. It's true the flesh physically will die. And all the goodliness that men have in their flesh will die with it. But that's not what this is talking about. It's not what this is talking about. This is spoken specifically of those that God has put in Christ before the world began. All their flesh is going to wither. All their goodliness is going to be made to be to them as the flower that fades away. How do you know that? Look back at verse 5. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. That's the flesh we're talking about. All flesh shall see it together. For all shall be taught of the Lord, all his people, every one of them. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Do you remember what happened to Isaiah when he saw the glory of the Lord? He said, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the glory of the Lord. I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he said, and I said, woe is me, I'm undone. All his goodliness faded when he saw the Holy One, the Righteous One. It all faded. That's what's going to happen whenever the Spirit of the Lord blows upon every one of those that Christ redeemed. The flesh is going to wither. The goodliness of the flesh is going to fade as a flower. Every bit of it. We're going to say, woe is me, I'm undone. I'm undone. But the word of the Lord is going to endure forever. Peter is quoting from this and what we've been seeing in our study through Peter. And Peter says there, let's look at it. Look over there at 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Verse 23, chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And so Isaiah, so he's quoting from Isaiah, and Isaiah tells us why. Because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. But that flesh that withers, it fades away. But where the Spirit of God is, where the Word is planted, that living and incorruptible Word, there's life. And the Word, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life in Christ, endureth forever. It's eternal life. And then, as God continues to give us glimpses of Christ, as we continue to go through this life, He'll continue to blow up on our flesh. And anytime that flesh tries to build again that which the Spirit of God has destroyed, if we're His, He's going to blow up on it, and that flesh is going to wither. And we're going to be renewed in the inward man. And that word is going to be enduring. It's going to continue. And this is how we're kept, isn't it? Kept by the Spirit of God. Kept by His Spirit. Moses, I was talking to Eric about this the other day. Moses was next in line to be Pharaoh of Egypt. And we would have thought, well, you know, let's get him in there, and he can pass some laws and legislate some things, and we can deliver the children of Israel right out of bondage, out of Egypt. But the Lord worked it so that Moses was rejected by Egypt and by Israel. Completely brought down to see that he wasn't going to be able to deliver them. All he had to deliver them with was a staff. A picture of the gospel, a picture of the word of the power, because God's going to get all the glory, isn't he? He's going to get every bit of the glory. Remember Peter's fall? Peter began to be puffed up in the flesh, and he said, these all might forsake you, Lord, but I won't forsake you. The Lord said, it's written, Peter, you're going to forsake me. Oh, they might, but I won't. It wasn't written about me. See, the goodliness is as a flower that fadeth. And the Lord said, it's going to fade, Peter. And he blew up on it, and it faded. It faded. All that goodliness faded. Peter was made to see his flesh really did profit him nothing. Really did profit him nothing. Paul was given a bunch of carried up into the third heaven, and he saw things that he said, it's not lawful for me to utter what I saw. And he said, but lest I be exalted above measure, there was given a thorn in the flesh. Thorn in the flesh. The thing that we have to be concerned about, the thing that is where the Lord began when he came forth, was teaching us that our goodliness is nothing. Our very best goodliness of our flesh is nothing. We need to hear constantly that all flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field, and that it's the word of the Lord that endureth forever. The Spirit of God blowing, making alive, killing and making alive. That's what the Lord does. This is a two-edged sword. It's a two edged gospel. And our Lord kills with it and he makes alive. And he does that in those in whom he creates life. He kills us, the flesh, and he makes alive. It's the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. Paul said, bodily exercise profiteth little. And he's talking about all this, but godliness, true godliness, inward godliness, inward, inwrought, spirit-wrought godliness will have some bodily exercise, but it's that inwrought spirit of God that's going to create something that's profitable. It's the life. Christ in you, the life, the hope of glory. It's profitable now and hereafter. It's enduring. Well, look over at Philippians chapter 3. The Pharisees were carnal men. They were men who were minding things of the flesh, so much so that religious as they could be, meticulous as they could be in the observance of the law of Moses, so much so that they would make modern-day Pharisees look like out-and-out harlots. But they were completely undone, completely lawless, completely, all the goodliness thereof was nothing. And Paul was that. Paul was a Pharisee. Look here what he says, verse 3. He gives a, chapter 3, he gives us a warning. And he says, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Verse 1, to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it's safe. It's safe. You get tired of hearing the gospel, this word over and over? You know, the Lord was saying it in Isaiah's day. He had Isaiah say this word. He had John the Baptist come forth and preach this word. He had every one of his apostles come forth and preach this word. And Paul said here, I've preached this word to you over and over and over again, but it's not grievous to me to do it. It's safe for you, for me to do it. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. He must be talking about some lewd people. He is. He's talking about some very lewd people. He called them in Galatians. He said, those that came in privately to spy out our liberty. What he called it. Spy out our liberty. Who's he talking about? He's talking about those that would bite and devour one another. He's talking about those that would cut one another. Those that would separate one another. Those that would whip and use. It's use the worst language possible here to describe those that try to force a compliance, force an obedience that God only can do, that God only can work. And he says here, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. Now he was, at one point, he looked at his flesh and he looked at the law, and he compared the two. The Mosaic law, the moral law of God. He looked at it, and he looked at his flesh, and he said, now there's some goodliness here. There's some goodliness here. There's some goodliness here. He said, if anybody could have confidence in the flesh, I more. And he said, if any, he said, I was circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. That could be said of Paul in his day. That could be said of Cain in his day. That could be said of Catholicism in the days of the early reformers. It could be said of reformers today. You think that's an odd thing to say? It's not an odd thing to say if you think about it, because all Satan has to do is convince us that because of a tradition, because of a banner other than Christ and the blood of Christ, that we are something. And I could see where men today might say, how dare you say a thing like that? Well, that's what they said about the early reformers. That's what they said about Paul. That's what they said about Christ. And those very fine, upstanding law keepers, those who would never, ever, ever be caught breaking the law of Moses outwardly, murdered Christ, murdered the Prince of Life. That's the goodliness of our flesh. It's the goodliness of it. Verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. You mean all that tradition and all of that zeal and all of that confidence you had, you counted all that loss for this one Christ. He said, I let it all go for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ. Paul really could say he had suffered the loss of all things. You know where he was when he wrote this? He was in prison. He was in prison. Put there because he was rejected by men who made their boast that they love God with all their heart, mind, and spirit, and love their neighbor as themselves. He says, but I count all those things dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That righteousness which indeed was wrought by Christ the Lord. That righteousness of which the gospel declares the righteousness of God. He said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I'd already attained, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. He said, I forget all those things that are behind, and I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And now look what he says, verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect. You know how Paul over in Thessalonians, he said, sanctify yourselves, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And he says here, as many as us that be perfect, as many of us, he said, that have come out having these precious promises of God, that in Christ the work is finished, that in Christ Jesus all has been perfected by him, that he is indeed the very wisdom with which God could be just to a people and yet show that people, be just in himself and yet show mercy to a people. The very righteousness of God, the very redemption that has brought us out of that bondage of that sin and corruption we were, out from under the law that had us bound and demanded our death. He's redeemed us from all our debts, bought us from all our captivity, and through the Spirit that has blown upon us, he's withered our flesh and he's made us to behold. He's made us to rejoice in this glorious good news that the Word, Christ the Word, The Word that was from the beginning, the Word that was with God, the Word that is God, the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us, the Word in whom we beheld the glory of God, full of grace and truth. That Word who came forth and said, "Don't think that I came to destroy the law and the prophets. I came not to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill it. For there's not one jot or tittle of this law shall pass till all be fulfilled." For who? He came to fulfill it for somebody. And if he didn't come and fulfill it, it wouldn't be fulfilled. And if you and I teach the goodliness of the flesh is by somehow doing as Paul was doing, where he looked at everything the law said and then looked at himself and what he was doing or not doing and said, "Okay, there's some goodliness here." Then, brethren, we're not only bringing the law down to a level that men can entertain the idea that they're fulfilling. We're not only breaking the law ourselves, we're teaching others to break the law. Christ is the only one who came forth and not only did the law at every jot and tittle, but he taught his people how it is we obey the law. And what did he say? He said, "Except your righteousnesses exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." How is my righteousness going to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees? How am I going to have a righteousness better than those men who... Only by faith in Christ. That's the only way. Only by faith in Christ. "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, as many who's had our flesh withered and have been born of the Spirit of God, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." How? How's he going to do it? He's going to do it through the same way he began the work. He began it by saying he sent forth John the Baptist. When he had totally, completely withered the whole nation, he sent forth John the Baptist with this word and said, "Now declare, all flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. It withers because the Spirit of God blows upon it. But it's the Lord that endures, the word of the Lord that endures forever." And he came forth through that gospel. And so it is that he comes forth through his gospel and he withers that which is our flesh. He withers that wherein we begin to boast. He withers that wherein we begin to take refuge, or wherein we begin to lose assurance because of our flesh, because of what we've either done that we ought to or haven't done that, or have done that we ought not to. He makes it to where we can't boast in this flesh whatsoever, and he withers it away, and he makes us to behold he is the word that endureth forever. And he, by making himself one in us and us in him, we have eternal life. And he's continuing to teach us, and he does it through the word of grace. And he says, so as many of you have come to this place where you realize all those things that we used to count as being so necessary and so needful and so have so much confidence in it. He said, "This one thing I do, I count those things loss for the excellency of Christ, and I press toward him and him alone." And as many of you as have arrived there by his Spirit, by his work of grace in you, know this, if there's any else among you that don't realize that, don't understand that, he'll teach them too. Just like he's done it, he'll teach them too. When it's you want these little ones, you want them to be grown. We want them We want to be grown like that, don't we? When they don't get something and they're stumbling and they don't understand it and they keep making the same mistakes over and over and over, we just keep teaching them, teaching them, teaching them, teaching them. He just keeps teaching and teaching and teaching his people through the same word, the same gospel. That's why Paul starts here and he says, it's not grievous for me to repeat these things to you. Why? Because we need them repeated to us. We forget them constantly. We forget this constantly. What does the Lord do as he's doing this? He brings us down in the flesh. Well, let me get you to turn over to Romans 7. That was Paul. That's what Paul said now. But now look, that was his, he said what he where he was before and where he is now. Now look what he said, even as an apostle. Look what he said, Romans 7, verse 18. I know that in me, that is, in my flesh. You see, even a believer still has that flesh with us. We still have it with us. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. You know who's saying this? The Apostle Paul, who was used to build or to establish all the Gentile churches. The Apostle Paul, who was used to write 3/4 of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul. Verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's the man that's born of the Spirit. That's where that incorruptible seed is. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. What happened to him? What was it that made him? He didn't see this before. He didn't understand this before. Before, he said, I was alive without the law. Look back there at Romans 6. Romans 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Now, what did Paul say about himself when he was in the flesh and he had all that confidence in his flesh? When he's talking about the motions of sin, he wasn't talking about adultery and fornication and drunkenness and all those things. He wasn't talking about those things at all. He was talking about the lasciviousness of thinking he was alive and there was some goodliness in his flesh by his obedience to the law. But now we're delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. Is the law sin? No, I had known sin but by the law. For I had known lust except the law said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. That is, he had it. He was trying to live by it. He was trying to come to God in righteousness by it. But he said, and he thought he was alive with it. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And then he says in Romans 8, look there. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Well, let me show you this. I want to show you this one thing here. Look down at verse 8, Romans 8, 8. When he says there, verse 7, about the carnal mind is enmity against God, not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. That's the motions of sin Paul was in when he was a Pharisee of Pharisee, circumcised the eighth day, had all that confidence in the flesh. So then they that are in the flesh can't please God. But now look at verse 9. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, else so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if the Christ be in you, now watch this, the body is dead because of sin. He said, in my flesh dwells nothing good. It's still a body of death. But the Spirit's life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. What do we say to that then? Therefore, brethren, we're debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. I want to mortify the deeds of the body. Don't you? I want to mortify the deeds of the body. I don't want to get any assurance from anything I do in my flesh. And I don't want to lose any assurance because of anything I do in my flesh. In other words, I want to be zealous for those works that are good and honorable to our God. But I don't want to look at my flesh at all. Because the goodliness of it is still as the flower that fades. What are you saying, Clay? What do you mean by all that? We don't want to think sinful thoughts. We don't want to perform sinful deeds. But when we do, we mourn our sin. The believer mourns his sin. But the Spirit mortifies the flesh. That fleshy, grassy thought that makes us to think that our sins make us less perfect than we are in Christ. That's mortification of the deeds of the flesh. He makes us to remember we're not less perfect than we are in Christ, even though we've sinned against him. And likewise, when we do that which is right and honorable, when our fleshy, grassy pride begins to bloom like a flower and think, oh, we've really got some goodliness in us, the Spirit of God makes us to realize we hadn't added anything and we're not more perfect than we are in Christ. In other words, he really brings us to behold that the flesh profits nothing. It's the Spirit that quickens. It's the Spirit that mortifies. It's the Spirit by which the Word is renewed in our hearts. It's the Spirit by which we walk. It's the Spirit by which we are guided. If you be led of the Spirit, we're led of the Spirit. Look there at the end. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. No bondage, isn't that wonderful? Okay, no reason to fear anymore. No no bondage, no reason to fear God. But look, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He's our Father. And this is the word that He's promised us that will endure forever. I want to end with this. I want to show you something. 1 Corinthians 15:9. This is growing in grace. 1 Corinthians 15:9. This is growing in grace right here. 1 Corinthians 15:9. This is Paul speaking. I am the least of the apostles. Just the apostles. All he said, I'm the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. Unto me, this is Paul, who am the less than the least of all saints. Not just the apostles. Ephesians 3:8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Not just the apostles. I'm the least of all saints. Now look over at 1 Timothy 1:15. This was when Paul was old and he was writing to Timothy. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. That includes everybody in this world, of whom I am chief. That's growing in grace. That's growing in grace. The more we're made to cry out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? The more we're made to thank God, that is through Christ Jesus. You know where we're coming to? Coming to a day, if we live long enough, if we don't die suddenly, if the Lord doesn't return, if we die of old age, we're coming to a time when we're going to lay there and these bodies are not going to be able to do one thing. Not one thing, but gurgle. If you've ever been by a loved one that died, you've seen it. Well, that really meant that they had conquered sin completely, didn't it? No, it meant they couldn't do anything because this old shipwreck called flesh just wore out. Sin was there as real as it ever was. But we're going to be made to see then. Be made to see then. Just like David said, this is all my hope. God has made with me an everlasting covenant ordered in all things and sure. Christ has finished everything. In Him I'm accepted of God, complete and perfect. That's where we're coming. That's where we're coming, if we live long enough. And then we're going to be made to see this flesh really, that's just what this flesh has profited us from our first hour, that it began to be withered by the Spirit. Pray He'd make it wither and plant the seed of the Word in our hearts and make us grow. Amen.